Good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord today, to each and every one that's gathered here. We want to thank you indeed for coming, and we do pray that the Lord will richly bless us as we're found in his house today. Those that are visiting, let me give you a warm word of welcome indeed, and may the Lord bless you as you're amongst us, even in the house of the Lord today. Let me just go through the announcements as briefly as possible. Let me begin by reminding you of our evening service in the church here at 7 p.m. and there will be the time of prayer beforehand here in the main hall from 6:30. And we do encourage God's people, and indeed each and every one that's here, let's be making that effort to come back again this evening and even come around God's precious word. We're continuing to look at Acts 16, and we're coming to the second part of that message that we began last Sunday evening, and we're coming to the second part of the devil's interest in the church. And so let me encourage you once again to come back and to spend time around God's word in his house. Then on Wednesday evening is our prayer meeting and our Bible study here in the church at 8 p.m. And we do encourage each and every one, as always, to come and make that effort to be found in the house of the Lord on the Wednesday evening. Then on behalf of our Londonderry congregation, can we mention to you the ordination and installation of Mr. Glenn Mulkison to the gospel ministry this Friday evening at 8 p.m. Now, can we highlight that it is by invite only, but God willing, they will be showing and transmitting, as it were, that live service on their YouTube channel. So if you go onto YouTube and you go to Londonderry FPC, then you'll be able to hopefully tune in to that service. But do pray much for the Lord's servant and indeed his family as they commence that ministry there in the Londonderry congregation. Then next Sunday, the services, just in two services now with the summer period, 11:30 and 7 p.m. And remember, of course, the prayer times, the morning one up in the minor hall, and then the evening prayer time here in the main church hall. And God willing, I'll be here for both of those services. Let me thank all those that were able to come on Friday evening for the time of fellowship, even at the barbecue, for those that helped as well. And then a word of thanks as well to each one that was here yesterday. And the Lord certainly gave us great weather for both occasions, and we want to thank the Lord for that, and even for all of the work that was able to be accomplished. And it was lovely even to have that time together on Friday evening. So we want to express our thanks to each one, and we do pray that the Lord will continue to bless in the days ahead. We did post an update yesterday. We've seen one, and we posted it on regards to the Fosters. And we're certainly thankful to the Lord that both are making good improvement. We mentioned on Wednesday night that our sister Hannah had to go and get some antibiotics, and we're thankful that those antibiotics have started to kick in. And the update yesterday just simply said they've made good improvement, but they're certainly not at 100% yet. So whilst we thank God for answered prayer, we do encourage you to keep praying that the Lord will even strengthen them further and bring them back to full strength once again. And we certainly do commend them to your prayers in these days. Now we're going to commence our worship this morning. And if you take your hymn books, it is the paraphrase number 2. The paraphrase number 2, you'll find it on the page 143. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed. The paraphrase number 2, and we'll stand after the introduction, please. Stand as we sing. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer, please, at this stage. Let us be seeking the Lord even this morning, that he will bless our coming together. Our gracious and our loving God in heaven, we bow before thee, O God, this day, confessing that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. Confessing, O God, that thou art the creator of heaven and of earth. Confessing that thou art the only redeemer of God's elect. We come this morning with praise and indeed with thanksgiving in our hearts. We do rejoice in the three persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We rejoice, O God, this morning that these three persons are one God, the same in substance, they're equal in power and in glory. And Father, we bow before thee. We thank thee for the mediator at thy right hand. We thank thee, O God, that he is our Savior. We do rejoice that he is our friend. We thank thee and praise thee that he is our intercessor there in glory. We thank thee this day, O God, for the Holy Spirit that indwells us. And O Father, we pray even as we have gathered to thy house this morning, that each one that is saved will know the fresh and filling of thy Spirit. That as we are found in thy house, that the Spirit, O God, will come amongst us. The Spirit of God will breathe upon us. The Spirit of God will give us that help, even to worship and to praise thee this day. We thank thee for the Lord's Day. We thank thee, O God, for this special, even meaning that it is to our hearts, that our Savior is alive, that he came even under the law and under the wrath of God. He came under the power of death for a time. But we thank thee and we praise thee that on the first day of the week, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was risen from the dead. And he now lives in that power of an endless life. We thank and praise thee that because he lives, we live in him. And O God, we do rejoice that our Savior this day is alive. We rejoice this day that we have nothing to fear in this life and we've nothing to fear in death, because our Savior has conquered all. We come to thee this morning rejoicing, O God, for our standing in Christ. We do rejoice that we are justified by his blood. We do rejoice that we have the Spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. And we want to thank thee and praise thee for it. We thank thee for every blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank thee, O God, for the daily loading off those benefits upon us. Every good and every perfect gift which cometh down from on high. O God, we give thee praise for it all. We thank thee for the opportunity once again to gather to thy house. We thank thee, O God, for each one that is here. We praise thee for thy hand upon each one. We praise thee, O God, for every blessing, temporal and spiritual, that thou hast given to each one. Lord, we do pray that as we are here this day, that thou wilt bless our coming together, that thou wilt bless us with that protection, that thou wilt bless us with thy presence, and, O God, that thou wilt bless us with thy power. Lord, we think of each and every heart that is here. We think, O God, of those that are online as well, listening in, and we thank thee for them. But, O God, we do pray that thou wilt minister to every heart this day, that even as we worship thee, and then as, O God, the preaching of thy word takes place, Lord, that it will come forth with power, and it will speak to hearts. O God, thou knowest the need of every heart. Thou knowest, O God, those that are not saved. Father, we pray afresh for them. We pray, O God, that thou wilt work in them, that thou wilt break down the stubborn hearts. O God, that thou wilt break down all of the barriers and the obstacles, all of the excuses. And O Lord, may the devil not have victories in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls in this house. But rather, O God, may they come this day and be saved. O Father, we pray for thy children, that thou wilt encourage them in their walks with thee. That thou wilt, O God, lead them on with thee. That thou wilt bring them into closer fellowship with thee. That each and every day that they will know thy blessing and thy presence even with them. Remember our elderly, O God. Remember our families, O God. Remember the young people. Each and every one, O God, we commit to thee afresh this day. We thank thee even for this week that we've just had, Lord, and even the evening of fellowship on Friday night, and we praise thee for it. And Lord, we thank thee for each one that was able to gather out, and even for the favorable weather and that time of fellowship one with the other. Lord, we thank thee as well for yesterday, for thy hand upon each one. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt continue to bless in every aspect of this work. Lord, we give it to thee. It is thy work. Thou art this king and the head of the church. No, Lord, we look to thee, that thou wilt lead and thou wilt guide this church, that thou wilt bless each and every one, bless our session, bless our committee men, O God, bless as well the Sunday school teachers, the youth leader, bless, O God, our children's workers. And Father, we pray even for the months ahead. We think of our Bible club in the summer. We pray for it. We pray, O God, that thou wilt work in hearts and bring many of the children of this area in. O God, even bring them under the sound of thy word. Father, undertake, we pray thee. Remember our sister congregations. O Lord, that thou wilt bless them. That thou wilt, O God, encourage thy servants this day who are ministering in thy word. Lord, we think of every minister. We think of the students. We think of the licentiates. O God, that thou wilt undertake for each one. We think of our brother Wilkinson as well. Lord, bless him in his final day. O God, even as he says goodbye to his home congregation there in Auchnacloy. Then as he takes up this charge, O God, even there in Londonderry. Lord, bless him and use him. Bless his family. Lord, undertake for them. And may we hear, O God, in the days that lie ahead, that thou art blessing there in the city, O God of Londonderry. Lord, undertake for us this day. Come and be with us. Come and be one of our number. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to continue to read from Psalm 106 this morning. Psalm 106. Last week we read the opening half of the psalm together, and we return to it this morning to read the second half. So Psalm 106, and this morning we pick up the reading in verse 25. Psalm 106 and verse 25. The word of God says, "But murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness, unto all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations, concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. And we do pray that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts this morning. Hymn 157, please. We'll stand to sing together once again just before we come to the preaching of God's word. The hymn 157, Day of Judgment, Day of Wonders, Hark the Trumpet's Awful Sound. Hymn 157, please. Let's stand as we sing. I invite you now to open your Bibles in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation in the chapter 20. Remember when I was in Bible college, Reverend Nelson, in one of the classes, he was speaking and he said about whenever you're in a series and as you're coming towards the second half, coming towards the end of the series, then it's always good if you know where you're going next. And I remember even when we were back in the study of Elijah and I was realizing we're on the second half of it, I knew exactly where the Lord would have us to go next. I'm still unsure of when to start it. This could be the first message off it, or we might leave it for a while, but God willing, the next series that we're doing in the gospel, we're doing a series in hell, and then we're doing following that with a series in heaven. But as I say, it's just in my mind and my heart, I'm conscious of the time of the year we're coming to, so if we start it now, it'll only be a few weeks, and then leaving it till end of the middle of August. And so, but I thought before, I believe it's right, that before we ever consider hell and heaven as the eternal destinations, it's always good and it's right and proper to first of all consider the day of judgment, because it is a very, very solemn day, and it's one that needs to be considered. And so we're going to read these verses from Revelation 20, beginning at the verse 11, just reading down to the end of the chapter. Revelation 20, the verse 11. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. And as always, may the Lord bless his own reading, or the reading of his own word, to our hearts. The day of judgment is our topic this morning. And let's be praying even now that the Lord will bless it to all of our hearts. Let's pray. Father, O God, we come and we read these verses off thy word. We read, O God, of what John saw in the Spirit. Lord, what an awesome picture is before us. And, O Father, help us even now by thy Spirit to present the truth of thy word to each and to every heart. O God, may it be a blessing even to thy people. God, may it be a comfort to them when they consider their standing in Christ. But, O God, may it be such a challenge to the unsaved. O God, may it be the means, God, of thy Spirit, even to convict and to convert the sinners this morning. Lord, come and empty us of self and of sin. Fill us with thy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Frank Retief, he said, the coming day of judgment is a doctrine that has been abused, misunderstood, and often used to manipulate people. But correctly understood in the context of God's character and justice, it is a doctrine full of comfort for the believer. When you read, as we have done this morning, these verses at the end of Revelation 20, it is an awesome scene that is painted and presented to us. This great event that is yet to come deserves our attention. It deserves the attention of both the saved and indeed especially of the unsaved this morning. It is certainly comforting whenever the child of God can read these verses, to know everything that is stated within them, to look at these verses and to understand that because we are saved, because we are in Christ, that we have nothing to fear. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We have read these verses this morning of how the books will be opened. We have read the verses of how the unsaved, those that are not named and listed within the book of life, that they will be cast into the lake of fire. But as a child of God, we take comfort in knowing that there is therefore now no condemnation. because each one that is saved is in Christ Jesus. But my friend, for you this morning that is unsaved, there is no comfort in these words. These words that are found in Revelation 20, there is no comfort for the ungodly in them. These words that are before us, this is a very clear, this is a very particular picture that is painted. God in His grace and His mercy has revealed the future to us. These words that are recorded are a warning. And the warning is clear. If you remain in your sin, if you remain outside of Christ, if you refuse to repent of your sins, everything that is revealed in the verses 11 to 15, every single word of this applies to you. That's your future. This is what's coming your way. You cannot escape this. You cannot bypass this. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. My friend, don't for 1 minute think that judgment isn't coming. For it is. We read in verse 10 that the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And he shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. The devil is cast into the fire. The greatest enemy of God, the greatest enemy of the child of God, the greatest enemy of the church, he's cast into the lake of fire, and yet the time of judgment isn't over. Many would think, oh, once the devil's dealt with, once the devil's cast out, then that's it, then that's the end. No, that's not the end. Yes, the devil's off the scene. The devil has been cast and tormented into the flame forever, but yet the Lord continues. He doesn't stop with the devil. He doesn't stop with the false prophet or the beast. He then turns his attention to the sinner. Now has come the day of the Lord. Now has come the day of judgment. This morning I don't have any points. I don't have my 3 points, my 4 points. I don't have them alliterated and all the rest of it. I just have these verses. We're going to go through them one by one. God help me this morning. All I want to do is paint a picture. And I encourage each one, saved, unsaved, young and old alike, I want you to look at these verses. I want you to understand these verses. I want you to see exactly, if you're unsaved, what is coming your way. This particular section begins with the verse 11. You come to judgment day. You come to the place of judgment. The verse 11, it just simply says, I saw a great white throne. There's nothing else to behold. There's nothing else there. John in the Spirit, as he comes to judgment day, as he's looking upon it and he's writing it all down, he's writing all of the account down for us. He's looking around. There's nothing to see. There's one throne. It's a great white throne. That's it. There's nobody else around to look at. There's nobody else up the front, as it were. There's no jury to the side. There's no typist there taking notes. There's nothing else. There's just one throne. Nothing else to get your attention. Nothing else to distract you. Now you can look around, you can do a full 360 as it were, and you'll come back to the same bed. It's just one white throne. No, it's very interesting. Go through the book of Revelation. The changes between the rest of Revelation and the change when you come to Revelation 20. Because Revelation 4 and 4, it tells us round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. Revelation 4 and 6, round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And yet you come to the day of judgment and all of the rest of the individuals, everything else is gone. No one else is there. It's as if the 24 elders have lifted up their seats and they've just walked off the scene. They've walked off the stage. They've exited right off the stage. It's all left just to the one throne. All of the elders, whoever they are, and it doesn't tell us their names, it doesn't tell us who they are, but they've just exited the stage. You think as well of the four beasts, full of eyes before and behind, the lion, the calf, the man, and the flying eagle. They've all withdrawn. Now there's just one throne. Now there's just one individual to look upon. The throne's described in the verse 11 as a great white throne. The word great signifies its power. The word white signifies its purity. And the word throne signifies its purpose. See, only the king, the judge, can sit upon it. Only the holy Son of God, the one who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, can sit upon it. And now he sits upon that throne, having received all power and authority from his Father. John 5 and verse 27, it says, "And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Make no mistake, it is the Lord that's coming. Make no mistake, it is the Lord that you will meet on that day. There's no one else allowed near that throne. There's no one else has the right, the power, the authority to sit upon that throne. There's no one else is perfect enough to sit upon that throne. It is the great white throne of judgment. It is the great white throne of God. Only the judge is allowed near it. And it is the Lord that you will meet on that day. Psalm 96 in the verse 13, it says, "He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth." Matthew 25, the verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of glory." My friend, as you're brought to that throne of judgment, as you come into that throne room, if you come into that judgment hall and the great white throne is there before you and you're looking upon the one who's sitting upon it, and you'll see the nail prints in his hands. You'll see the marks upon his brow where the crown of thorns pierced him. You'll see the nail prints in his feet. You'll see all of the marks of the cross and all of the marks of the suffering and the shame that was there upon Christ. It's all there to behold. Yes, he's in his glory, but the nail prints are still there. The piercing marks are still there upon the brow. If you were to see behind him, you'd still see the marks upon the back. If you were to see his side, you'd still see the hole there, that mark, that scar in there where Christ was pierced. You'll be looking upon the one that you rejected. You'll be looking upon the one who suffered, bled, and died. You'll be looking upon the one who was raised from the dead and exalted far above all. You'll be looking upon the one that you turned your back on, that you mocked, that you scorned. You'll be looking upon the one that you trampled over his death and over his gospel. And he'll be sitting upon the throne. And you'll be standing before him. My, what a sight that will be. For the ungodly, there's nowhere to hide. Notice the words of verse 11. It says, "From whose face the earth and the heaven have fled away." I think of the words that are recorded in Revelation 6. In verse 15 and 16, it says, "The kings of the earth and the great men, and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." The kings and all of the great men in that day, they're crying, "Rocks, mountains, fall on us." But yet when they come to the day of judgment, all of the heaven and all of the earth has fled away. There's no more mountains to hide behind. There's no more rocks to fall upon you, to cover over you, to conceal you from the wrath of the Lamb. Everything else is gone. Everything is gone. There's nowhere to hide. You're standing there and you're completely naked, as it were, before his eye. There's nowhere, nothing to conceal you. You can't run away because there's nowhere to run to. You can't hide from his sight because there's nowhere to hide. Verse 11, it tells us, I saw a great white throne. Notice something else is missing. The rainbow. Revelation 4 and verse 3 tells us there was a rainbow round about the throne. But now the rainbow's gone. What is a rainbow? What is the significance? What is the symbolism of the rainbow? It's certainly not what man would seek you to believe today. We know the groups that have hijacked the rainbow, the groups that have taken it as their symbol, and they're seeking to speak of it as of love and all the rest of it. But my, the rainbow, what is it? You'll find at Genesis 9, verses 13 to 17, the rainbow was given by God. God set the bow in the sky as that token, that sign of God's covenant, which he had established between man and himself. The rainbow is that symbol, it is that token of God's grace. Symbolizes the grace of God towards mankind. Both the special and indeed the common grace. But the earth is now gone. The rainbow's now gone. You see, the day of grace is finished. The day of opportunity is past. Christ no longer is coming as a Savior. Christ is coming as a judge. You look around, as I said, you look around that judgment hall. You look around that place of judgment. There's a great white throne of judgment. There's no preachers preaching the gospel. There's nobody coming to you and handing you a tract and telling you you need to be saved. There's no individuals there telling you now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. The day of grace is over. The summer's ended. The harvest is past. You're not saved. The day of grace is over, the day of judgment's begun. Too late then to repent. Be too late then to turn and to look for someone to lead you to the Lord. You're now standing before him. And his arms aren't open, saying, come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He's now seated upon his throne. Verse 12. It says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Matthew 25 and verse 32, it says, before him shall be gathered all nations. The small and the great, they stand together. The kings, the queens, the presidents, the emperors, the dictators, they all stand. None of them have protection, by the way. You think nowadays if the queen was to come, or the president to come, they've all of their security detail. You read even of times whenever presidents come over from America, they send over members of the Secret Service. They go beforehand, they check all of the different routes, they check everything, so that whenever the president comes, he's all of his men around him. They know everywhere, they know every aspect, every alley to turn up, every road that they can go down. Presidents aren't going to have any security detail come the day of judgment. All the staff, the advisors are all gone. The small and the great, they stand alone. You know that day as well when the small and the great, they stand together. It'll be like nothing you've ever seen before. Because grace is gone, remember. common grace is gone. Restraining grace is gone. Every man and woman that stands before the Lord on that day, every single one will be revealed as they truly are. My individuals, they can look at Adolf Hitler, they can look at Joseph Stalin, they can look at all of the dictators that have been through the years of communism, they can look at all of the emperors down through the years that massacred individuals, that ordered genocides across Africa and all of the rest of it. You can look at all of those people and you can say, those were evil, evil individuals. My, in the day of judgment, whenever all grace is withdrawn, the restraining grace is gone, every individual will be shown for what they truly are. You think Adolf Hitler and Stalin were unique? You wait till you see in the day of judgment. You think that murderers and rapists were unique? You wait till you see in the day of judgment. Because all grace is gone. All mankind will be in their proper state. The hearts and the minds of all individuals will be laid bare. The hearts which are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, everyone will see it. And everyone will see yours. Now you think you're morally righteous, you think you're morally upstanding. You think you're good enough in your works, you think you're good enough in your life, you're kind, you're caring, you wait to see in the day of judgment. Every heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God's going to show it to everyone on that day of judgment. In verse 12 and 13, it tells us about how the dead are coming small and great. Verse 13, the sea gave up their dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. My, what a cry that will be. The Lord sitting upon his throne. Every body is going to be reunited with their souls. The command will be issued from the throne. John 5:28, it says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in their graves shall hear his voice and come forth. The one who is the resurrection and the life, the one who has conquered death and hell, now commands them. And that cry will go forth from the throne. Graves, give up your dead. Hell, give up your dead. See, give up your dead. And all will come forth. All bodies will be reunited with souls. Bodies which were burnt to ashes. Bodies which were consumed. Bodies which have decayed to dust are brought forth by the power of the judge upon the throne. And all stand before him. And then when everyone's assembled, the books are opened. What books? I believe the Word of God will be there. I believe the Scriptures will be one of the books. It tells us in John 12 and verse 48, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So the Scriptures will be there and they will be opened. The moral law will stand against the sinner. That moral law that's summarily comprehended and constructed and brought into the Ten Commandments. That will stand against the sinner. The doctrine of sin will stand against the sinner. The gospel of Jesus Christ will stand against the sinner. The way of salvation will stand against the sinner. The cross of Christ will stand against the sinner. The resurrection of Christ will stand against the sinner. The Word of God will be opened.
I believe as well the record books will be there.
The record of your entire life. Every thought you've ever had.
Every word you've ever spoken.
Every action you've ever taken.
Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, it says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil, or whether it be good or whether it be evil."
Nothing's missed. Nothing's missed. Nothing's glossed over. My individuals, they'll try and they'll talk away their faults. They'll try and talk away their feelings. Nothing will be laughed over in those days. Nothing will be fobbed off to the side. Nothing's just being taken off and just left to the side. No, every single thing is being brought in. It's all in the books. And it's all opened against you. It's all evidence. 1 Corinthians 4, the verse 5, it says, "The Lord will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. He will make manifest the counsels of the heart." One commentator, he said, "When every human comes face to face with their Creator, no one will be able to complain that they got a raw deal." God doesn't build us up or build up a biased case against you. Doesn't build up a slanted case against you. He is fair. He is honest. He is just. He is righteous. He is holy. Everything that is there is because you did it. Everything that is there is because you said it. Everything is there because you thought it. It's not because God has pushed you and made you do this and trying to build a case against you. It's all there by your own actions, by your own thoughts, by your own words. My, it's the most comprehensive case ever to be presented in a courtroom. Every single piece of evidence against a sinner will be used. It'll be the most watertight case ever in history. Then the book of life will be opened. And the question will be asked of every individual that stands before the throne. Is their name in the book of life? The answer's clear. The answer's concise. It's either yes or no. There's no gray area. It's either yes or no. It tells us there in the verse 15, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Your name's not in the book of life. You're going to hear the judge's ruling. Matthew 25, 41, it says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." That place that's recorded in the verse 10 that the devil was cast into, by the verse 15, every single sinner is cast in with him. There's no appeal. There's no judge turning to the jury and saying, "Jury, have you made up your decision? Have you come to an agreement?" There's no representative for a jury to stand and say, "We, the jury, find A, B, C, guilty or not guilty." There's the judge. There's no other court to turn to. This court is the highest court in heaven and in earth. He's sovereign. He's supreme. His ruling is fair because he is just. His ruling is final
because he is Lord. Matthew Henry, he said these words, "Those that love darkness rather than light shall have their doom accordingly. Those that will not hear the comfortable voice of God's word shall be made to hear the dreadful voice of his rod. Those who will not deliver themselves into the hand of God's mercy cannot be delivered out of the hand of his justice. Those who will not observe the judgments of God's mouth shall not escape the judgments of his hand. So the sinner will be taken, cast into the lake of fire, tormented in the flames forever. No reprieve, no repeal, lost forever." That's the future for each one who remains in their sin. That's the future of you remain in your sin. You will not be able to complain or to say it's unfair. You'll not be able to say you didn't know. You'll not be able to say you weren't given time, because now is the accepted time. You know, in light of Calvary, no lost sinner can ever condemn God for casting him into hell. God has provided an escape. God has provided a way of salvation. God patiently waits even to this day. He is long-suffering. He's waiting for sinners to repent. The way of salvation is being preached from this pulpit, from many pulpits across this land, from pulpits and from places right across this world. The gospel is going forth, whether it be in person, whether it be in radio, whether it be on internet, whether it be in the track, in the written form. The gospel is being preached. The way of salvation is being presented. The cross of Christ is being highlighted to men and to women. You come to him, you'll never experience what is found there in Revelation 20. John 5 and verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So the question as I close is this: will you believe in him? God in his mercy has painted everything and brought us everything. That pen in John's hand, we have revealed to us exactly what is coming. God is so rich in mercy. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to show us this. There was nothing that compelled him in terms of legality or in terms of fairness or justness that forced him to give us this. But God is a God of grace, God of mercy. My friend, today, if you're in this house or you're listening online, and you're still out of Christ, I can't present it any clearer than what I've done this morning. Day of judgment is coming. Neither you'll stand before that great white throne. And every sin of yours will be listed. And then God will say to you, depart. And you're gone. Or else you'll come and you'll stand before the throne of Christ. And you'll hear the well done, good and faithful servant, enter into thine rest. It's one or the other. My friend, today I plead with you, be sure, be very sure that you're in Christ. The day of judgment is real. The day of judgment is coming. Don't miss Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge, O God, this day that what is contained in this passage. God, it is an awesome sight. To think, O God, of souls that will stand before that white throne and their sins will condemn them to hell. Father, we thank thee that in this day of mercy and of grace that we find ourselves, that the gospel invitation is still there to come. Lord, we pray for each one that is here. We thank thee, O God, for the comfort for thy people. Each one that is in Christ, each one that is saved, there is therefore now no condemnation. Father, we pray for any that be amongst our gathering or listening online, O Lord, that are still strangers to thee. Father, we pray this day that the Spirit of God will break them. The Spirit of God will bring them unto himself. Lord, bless us now as we separate one from the other. Pray that thou wilt be with us throughout this afternoon. It will bring us again this evening to the Lord's house. Lord, undertake this day, we pray thee, and save souls. In Jesus' name, amen.